thank all those who shared and brought those lessons to us. I think those were valuable lessons and observations that we heard tonight. And as God blesses us, we ought to bless one another. The Bible says that. And so I had to think about this also, because I asked you to think about it. And as I did, I had an experience like some of you did, that my thoughts went elsewhere, went to another passage of Scripture. Of course, there were reasons for, as your reason for going to Romans 8 and yours for going to Galatians 5, there was a connection, right? So I got to thinking about John 13. There we have a parable that Jesus acted out, or a picture that Jesus acted out of his ministry, really why he came. Actually, it is Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. It's just a picture of that, I should say. It was just before Jesus went to the cross. He was together with his disciples, and he saw that they needed to be taught a lesson and to learn a lesson from him. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Now you remember that in Philippians 2, we talked about him coming down and being made in fashion as a man, humbling himself, and not only becoming a man, but taking upon himself the form of a servant or a slave. He was in the form of God, and then it says the form of a servant or a slave. What a giant step down, as we said this morning. In the form of God, that means he was equal with God, as you read it in Philippians 2. I'll open to that also, because I want to see some of the parallels here. Though he was in the form of God. Now, the exegesis of that particular phrase, or the explanation of that particular phrase, is found in the rest of the sentence. And you can see that being in the form of God means to be equal with God. He possessed everything that anyone needs to possess to be equal with God. And of course, he was the only person that ever could be described in that way. But he was equal with God. He was in the form of God. And then it says, he took the form of a servant. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now here Jesus takes off his outer garments and wraps himself in a towel and begins to do a servant's job. He serves his disciples. Now remember, even now, he is called by them their master. He is their teacher. He is their Lord. And he is not their servant, except, as Brother Philip said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, what do the greatest ones do? They become the servant of all. And this is what he was acting out for them. He was showing them that they should do the same. But also, he was showing them how he laid aside his outer garments, how he took upon himself a different role. He became a servant, and he humbled himself. What does it say he did? He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you," for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" Well, he told Peter that Peter didn't understand, but that he would understand. And here he asks the question, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" And he knew that they did not understand what he was showing them. The best that he could hope was that they would see that he was trying to get through to them that they must serve each other and follow his example. But I'm sure they didn't see the parable. They didn't understand that he had come down from heaven to do the will of his Father and to serve them and to save them. Look at Judas here. Judas is one of them that Jesus bows before. He bows before each one. He has his basin. He's on his knees. He's doing his service. And he does this to Judas, who's still in the room. As it says, "You're not all clean. Not every one of you is completely clean." He knew who would betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." And yet, he bowed before Judas and washed Judas' feet. That shows us that he came into the world to save sinners, even the chief of sinners. He came to save. It's one of the great examples. It's one of the great examples and proofs, I would say, in the Word of God, of the free offer of the gospel, that Jesus did this for Judas just before he would go out to betray him. It's just a marvelous part of this story. It proves that the gospel is to be proclaimed to everyone. And Judas wasn't one who received it, that's true. He went out and did what he was going to do. But Jesus, there's that free offer of the gospel that was even given to Judas and to all of them. Jesus served them. Jesus washed them. "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So it's a wonderful teaching that he gave his disciples. I think it's also significant that at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about how great Jesus is. Before he takes off his garments and girds himself with a towel, did you notice what it says about him? Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world. Why would he be thinking of doing that and serving them? He loved them. That's why, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Look at that. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God. What he did now must have been very, very important, what he did here. Because here's the pivotal moment of history. Jesus is going to the cross to bear sin and bring salvation to sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he knew that God had given all things into his hands. He had come from God. He was going back to God. Now was the time. You or I would have felt rather important with that, I would think. And we all know that Jesus was the greatest and is the greatest and was about to do the most important work that was ever done. And yet he took the time to do what he did here for his disciples, to act out this picture, this parable of his leaving glory and coming down to earth and being emptied, as we said this morning, laying aside the prerogatives of his heavenly glory. He didn't lose his divinity, but I believe where it says he emptied himself, I believe it's well understood as in this way, that he emptied himself as God into humanity. And this is a mystery, a glorious mystery. How God manifest in the flesh, how he came down and poured himself into something so almost infinitesimally small, and yet he didn't lose anything of who he really was, and he was still the divine Son of God as a baby in the manger. Who can understand these things? God shows us these things in his word, and we take them by faith. We believe that Jesus is very God, as we say, and very man. He is God manifest in the flesh. But he came down, and as man, he was one of us, and as one of us, he stooped low. There's a measure by which you can measure love. Why, there are a number of measures. We sang before, God so loved the world. I suppose you measure love by the greatness of the lover. And here is the divine Son of God coming down. Here is the great God, the Father in heaven, loving, maker of heaven and earth, loving sinners. Jesus dying for sinners, dying for his enemies. For a righteous man, perhaps some would even dare to die. But God, the great God, as I said, I suppose you measure love by the greatness of the lover, and perhaps also by the one who is loved, and maybe his lack of worth. I think that could be part of a measure of love. He died for us while we were his enemies. Not his friends. He died for us as his enemies. And then, of course, by the gift that was given, God gave his Son to die for us, and His Son poured out His life for us. Such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. And now He takes me to His heart, a son. He asks me not to fill a servant's place, but He did. He did. He came down, down, down. And then He experienced death. He experienced death for us. And not only death, the death on a cross, even death on a cross. So I guess that's another, I started to say, measurement of love. How low will you stoop for me? That'll show how much you love me. How low will you go? And Jesus stooped to wash Judas' feet. And Jesus came down from His glory in heaven to die, and then to die even death on a cross. That song, Such Love, that I was referring to, such wondrous love that God should love a sinner such as I. The verses have to do, at least they refer to, one of Jesus' other parables. The parable of the prodigal son. That's a great parable, isn't it? A certain man had two sons. And you remember the story, so we don't have to look it up or go through it in too much detail, but there was one son who felt that things at home were very restrictive. And so he came to his father and he said, "Give me my inheritance. Give me what I deserve." See the difference there? The Spirit of Christ, who counts not equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, He leaves that. He comes down to save us. Well, He wants His inheritance, and He is given His money, and He takes off, and He wrecks His life in sin. And the other son has a similar disposition. He also has the same attitude toward his father, even though he stays at home. He's the good son. We think of him as the self-righteous one. But he's still a sinner. And he still doesn't know his father's love. And he doesn't understand his father's heart. And he isn't happy, you remember. It's very distasteful how he acts when the younger son comes back. You remember he complains, "All these years I served you, and I served you diligently, and I served you well, and you never made a feast for me." Neither of them really loves his father. But then that's the story within the larger story, because there's another son. There's a third son in the story, or in the parable, isn't there? And it's the one who's telling the parable. And he's the Son of God, and he came also. He came down from above into the far country, into the world of sinners. We look around us, we look into our own hearts, we just see how far we are from the God who created us and who loved us and continues to love us. And He was willing. He said, "I delight to do Your will. Oh my God, You prepared a body for me. I can come, or I can go and do Your will. I can fulfill the plan and purpose. No one else can do it, but I can go down." And I wonder what transpired there. It's too holy, I suppose, for us to know or to delve into. I imagine that they knew. Of course, God knows everything. And perhaps the father said to the son, "If you go, you'll have to enter into all that alienation, all that sinfulness. to be forsaken by God, if you take the sins of the world upon yourself, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. But you're equal with me. We're equal. I don't count that something to hold on to. I'm ready to go to save sinners, to rescue those lost ones from eternal death. I'm ready to go. I'll go. I want to do your will. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, if I can bring salvation, I want to go. We don't know how that went exactly, but there must have been some moment in time in the councils of the eternal God where there was this divine instinct that it was now, that now was the time, and Jesus would go and he would come to this earth to be our Savior. He would stoop so low to rescue the prodigals, the sinful one, the one that was in the deep degradation of sin, and the one that was in the same awful sinful condition, but he was self-righteous and thought he was so good. They were both so far removed from their Father, their Father's heart, and their Father's love. But Jesus came to save them. I don't know, I went to two chapters, didn't I, as I was thinking of this today. John 13, Jesus washing the feet. And I guess it was really striking to me that he washed Judas' feet. And how that means to me anyway that salvation should be proclaimed for whosoever will. Whosoever will to the Lord may come. He'll not turn one away. If you come, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a glorious gospel we have to proclaim. What a wonderful Savior we sang before. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And then the story of the prodigal son and Jesus being the son who is telling the story, but the son who goes to save, to seek and to save the lost, to bring them back to the Father. And then it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And it's time for me to close. And so I'd just like to say that this struck me too, right from Philippians 2. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that means that every tongue, every knee, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, will bow. And everyone will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, some will do so willingly, and others apparently will be coerced to do this. It says every knee shall bow. You think the devil's going to bow his knee willingly, but Satan's knee will bow. It says that right here. His knee will bow. He will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus has triumphed. Angels and cherubim will bow. Sinners who have rejected the Lord, who have rebelled against him and would not accept the offers of the gospel, they will bow. Those who love Jesus, who have followed him and served him, those who have put their trust in him as their Savior and acknowledged him as their Lord, their knees will bow. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. But it's such a wonderful thing to do that voluntarily and to do it now. And I trust that all of us have bowed our knee to the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledged Him as supreme Lord, as the one who is exalted, who sits on His throne, who rules and reigns, His beloved and His own from heaven above, and who has all authority, yes, over us as His people, in His church, over our lives. We give Him the place that He deserves. We say, reign in us, Lord, reign supreme and reign alone. And tonight I just want to stress that to all of us. We want to bow the knee voluntarily. We don't want to be coerced in that day to say, yes, You are Lord, but I have fought against this. Now you can bow your knee. You can kneel down and not bow in your heart. You can say, I'm standing tall in my heart. So it's not exactly, it's not the physical posture necessarily that counts the most, but it's bowing before the Lord. And I trust that we have all done that and that we all continue to do that and that we ask God to just spread His kingdom authority in our lives more. Authority, more full obedience. Lord Jesus, You are, we sang this morning, You are my Lord. Have all of us accepted Jesus as our Savior, the Savior of our souls, and the Lord of our lives? Have we actually in our hearts done what we sang this morning, crown Him with many crowns? All hail, Redeemer, hail. Thou hast died for me. I worship You. I worship You. You are the great one. You are my Lord. We pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Thy kingdom come means, Lord, rule. Rule and reign. Thy kingdom come means my kingdom go. My kingdom go. Spread Your kingdom authority in my life. Take greater control. Help me to bow lower before You. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The song says, every tongue confess Him, King of glory. Now, we can do that now. And if we've never done it, we can do it now. And if we have done it, and Jesus is our Lord, we can still bow our knee before Him and say, Lord, come and take greater authority in my life. Help me to trust You. Help me to obey You in all things, Lord. If there's anything where I have retained control, or I think I have retained control, and I don't want to hand it over to You, Lord, You can break my will. You can take me and work out the good pleasure of Your will in me, because You know what's best. You're a great Savior, a mighty Savior. You can give me a life of overcoming. You can help me to acknowledge You for who You really are. Lord God Almighty, my Savior, my King, rule and reign in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'd like us to stand together. Let's all stand in our places. Hallelujah. And let us pray. Let us pray together. Let us bow in our hearts before Jesus. He's highly exalted. He's highly exalted. The Father was pleased with his willingness to come. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, hallelujah. And He came to be our Savior, and He's able to win in our lives. He's able to so fill us with His love, as you have, some of you have said, and help us to love Him in return and want to please Him with all of our hearts and serve Him humbly, lovingly, willingly, all our days. Lord, you are in charge. Help us to give you the place that is yours, Lord, to honor you, to bow the knee, to bow the knee before you tonight, Lord, not someday when everyone will and when we will have to acknowledge, but Lord, help us to acknowledge you in our hearts, to enthrone you. Even tonight, Lord, we want to acknowledge you as the Lord of our lives. And we do, Lord, we do bow. We bow, Lord, in our hearts. We bow before you, great God, great Savior, oh Jesus. You make us all that you want us to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you know what a joy it's been for me to be here these days with this group. I thank you for everyone who's here, Lord. I thank you for their lives, for the good work that you have begun in their hearts, Lord. I thank you for each one, and I pray that you will bless them tonight, Lord. Oh, with a deeper reverence, a holier submission, a fuller devotion, a consecration to you, Lord. Lord, we pray, we bow before you. We don't want to call you Master and Lord and not do the things that you say. But Lord, when we say you're our Lord, we just pray that it shall be so in every area of our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So I brought a song along with me for us to sing in closing, and I almost forgot, but I think we should. I quoted from it twice, I think this morning and another time recently here. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess him, King of glory now. And here it is. So who'd like to help me distribute these? And we'll sing it to the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers. Thank you. Take the middle. Thank you. Take half of that side and half of whatever. Everybody knows the tune Onward Christian Soldiers? While they pass out the... While they pass out the songs, I like to recommend this book one more time. Do you have any left? There's only one more of these left in the boathouse, and it's not this one. This is my personal copy. Affirming the Apostles' Creed, I recommend it highly. You need more? Okay. You need one of these?
Yes, please.
Okay, yes, we have more. Who still needs one? Thank you. Anybody else? If you want to play on this, it's in the hymn book 167. Anybody else? Okay, at the end of the verse, we have to sing the chorus, and follow me, okay? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue comes. Okay, so the chorus is the first line and a half, all right? Second verse. At his voice, creation sprang at once to sight. All the angel faces, all the hosts of light, thrones and dominations, stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in their great array. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Third verse. Humbled for a season to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Bore it up triumphant, with it human light, through all ranks of creatures to the central. Tongue confess him, King of glory now. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not. Your captain in temptation's hour, let his will enfold you in its light and power. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory o'er the earth to reign. For all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him, King of glory now. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now.
Oh, hallelujah. Let us do that right now. Lord, you are my King. Hallelujah, I confess you as Savior, confess you as Lord, my King and my Master. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In my heart enthroned, Lord, Lord, we enthrone you in our heart to subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Well, it's time for us to close the meeting, isn't it? Don't forget, in your hearts enthrone him. Bow before him, the great one, and let him always be great, Lord. Be marvelous in our eyes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'll be back, Lord willing, on Saturday. And if you are not going to be here, and I'm not going to see you at home, I'm talking about the people that I don't know that well and don't see on a regular basis. If I'm going to see you Saturday, I'll be happy. But if you're leaving Saturday, do come and say goodbye to me tonight, okay? We'll... If anyone wants to stay to pray, please do that. So we'll whisper our goodbyes, okay? And I've been so pleased to be with you, so happy. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for these days. I thank you again for what you are doing throughout the whole camp. And Lord, we're just trusting you to carry forward your work and bring this session to a glorious close. Oh God, we pray, and this season also. Oh God, have your way among us. Thank you for touching our hearts tonight. And thank you, Lord, that we can bow before you. And Lord, not just tonight, but we want to live that way. Please help us to live that way, not just to call you Master and Lord either, but to do the things that you say and to yield to your working in our hearts. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Put a great desire in our hearts for Jesus and for his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you, all of you. Hallelujah.